Reb Chaim hailed a taxi and made his way to a nondescript, quiet little street in a suburb of Moscow. Reb Chaim approached the building with trepidation in his heart. He looked all around in every direction to see if he was being followed, but he couldn't see anybody. When he came to the door, he rapped loudly on the door. He waited and nothing happened. He rapped even louder, and still nothing happened. He knocked until his knuckles were raw. And finally, he heard someone shout through the door,
"Go away from here and don't come back! Well, if you don't want me here, I won't stay here."
The door opened because, of course, the exchange between the man inside the building and Reb Chaim was actually the code to enter the building.
"Come inside, Rabbi! Come inside, quick!"
Reb Chaim noticed that the door was made of very heavy wood, and there were three huge locks on the door. The man locked each of them in turn, and then turned to Reb Chaim.
"Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. My name is Felix."
"Ah, Reb Felix, nice to meet you. My name is Chaim Friedman."
"I already know that. We are so excited, we can't wait to learn some Torah."
"Okay, well, I guess I'm in the right place."
"Okay, now you come with me. I take you down to the secret location."
They walked down a long, dark hallway, and when they came to the end, they found themselves in a small apartment. An old woman sat at the kitchen table. She looked up as Reb Chaim entered the room.
"Please, you come to fix the plumbing?" "Of course, sure. Show me, where's the problem?"
"It's over there."
Reb Chaim began walking across the room together with Felix, but as he passed the old woman, he noticed that she clutched a tear-stained old Tehillim tightly in her hands. As soon as they were out of earshot, Reb Chaim turned to Felix.
"Who is this lady, and how does she come to have that Tehillim?"
"Rabbi, this lady, she has from before the times of the communists. More than 70 years, she is keeping Torah under most difficult imaginable circumstances. And now, she is risking her life to let us use her house to learn Torah. Most incredible, incredible woman."
"You can say that again."
"Most incredible, incredible woman."
"I didn't mean you really have to say it twice."
"I don't understand."
It's all right.
They came to a curtain and Felix pulled the curtain aside, revealing a small staircase. They followed the staircase down to a dark, musty cellar. The cellar appeared to be completely, completely empty. But as they walked across the cellar to the opposite side, Felix pushed a button that was almost completely invisible. A door popped open, and another staircase appeared, leading even deeper under the ground. Reb Chaim and Felix were now in a sub-basement, which is a basement under a basement. They walked down a dark, narrow staircase and entered a small room lit only by one tiny little light bulb. Sitting around a rickety old table were five young men. Reb Chaim instantly recognized Alex.
"Ah, Alex, it's so good to see you again."
"Yes, me too. So good to see you. We are so excited. We can't wait. This is the first time we ever learned Gemara."
"Okay, let's get started right away. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name?"
Each of the young men introduced themselves in turn. There were Felix and Alex, of course, but there were also Motik, Mikhail, Anatoly, and Yuri. Reb Chaim opened his Gemara without hesitation. He knew these young men were not here to waste time.
"Okay, so let me just give you a brief explanation of what the Gemara actually is. Well, you see, it all started at Har Sinai. And there was a Torah Shebiksav. And there was a Torah Shebab."
The six men sat with rapt attention, hanging on to every word coming out of Reb Chaim's mouth. Reb Chaim eventually started the actual Gemara.
"It
continued for a full hour. He slowly closed his Gemara and started standing up. Suddenly, Anatoly grabbed his sleeve.
Rabbi, please, where are you going?
Well, you know, it's getting late. I have to get back to the hotel. You know, I had to sneak away from the KGB in order to get here. And if I come back to the hotel too late, they're going to be very suspicious.
But Rabbi, we have been waiting for years for this opportunity. Please, I beg of you, don't leave yet.
Wow. You really want to learn so badly. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll stay another 15 minutes.
Another half hour came and went, but still they didn't let Reb Chaim leave. Reb Chaim ended up staying in the musty cellar for over 4 hours. He finally left after 1 o'clock in the morning. He had completely forgotten about time and space. But now the dangerous reality sank in.
What am I gonna do now? I'm gonna have to get back to my hotel. The KGB is gonna be waiting for me there, and I'm gonna come back at 1 o'clock in the morning. I Rabbeinu Shalaila.
Reb Chaim began heading back to the hotel with a tefillah on his lips. As he walked, an idea popped into his head. He took a large map out of his pocket and began unfolding it as he walked. Around a half hour later, he entered the hotel holding the tremendous map in his hands. He was approached by a KGB agent.
Merkanskaya, where were you?
Well, you see, this is what happened. I was walking along Novogrodsky, and I had my big, huge map over here, and I was looking for Tarovsky, and then I was going down Tarovsky, and I was trying to find Mishnovsky.
I never heard of Mishnovsky. You make it up.
No, you never heard of Mishnovsky? It leads straight into Gomorovsky.
What is this Gomorovsky?
Yeah, I knew you would have no idea. Anyhow, so then, there was supposed to be a pond on my right-hand side and a fountain on my left-hand side. But the fountain was on my right-hand side and the pond was on my left-hand side. And then I realized I was holding the map upside down.
Merkanskaya, why you try to fool our agent? Why you trick him into jumping onto bus? You come with me. I want to question you.
No, there's nothing to question. I was standing by the bus stop. I was thinking if I should take the bus or not. Then I decided that I will take the bus, but then a quarter of a second later, I decided I'm not gonna take the bus. So, all of a sudden, this guy standing next to me, he was a KGB agent, I didn't even realize. Anyhow, he jumped onto the bus. What should I do about it? You know what I think we should do? I have here a little present for you. Why don't we sit down on one of these couches over here and we could discuss the amazingly difficult to navigate traffic patterns here in your capital, beautiful city.
What present?
Well, I have here a nice little bottle. You know, some water. I mean, it's not really water. It's really something else, but we'll pretend it's water.
Merkanskaya, I see you speak Russian after all. Okay, so we will continue this conversation a different time. I'm sure you're tired and you want to go to your room.
Reb Chaim couldn't believe his ears. His tefillis had helped after all. He quickly jogged the 4 flights of stairs before the KGB agent changed his mind. He went into his room and slammed the door. His heart was going like a jackhammer.
Thank you, Hashem. I'm safe in my room, for now at least. And tomorrow we gotta do this all over again.
Reb Chaim davened Ma'ariv with lots of hearts and went to sleep.